Hello, everyone. It's your girl, Britta, and welcome to my new podcast, You Britta Vote. On this podcast, I kiki with activists, organizers, and elected officials about all things political, from voting to climate change to LGBTQIA plus equality. Baby, my guest and I will spill the tea on what is happening in the current political landscape and how you can make your voices heard on the issues. As a note, Drag Out the Vote, for which I am the national co-chair, is a partisan nonprofit. So my work there is strictly nonpartisan. But in this podcast, baby, I am speaking from my own personal opinions. So get ready for some unfiltered tea. Let's get into it. Hit it.
Are you registered? Because you should be. Fill that ballot out, it's a voting spree. Put that mask on, don't touch me. Ain't gonna let voting line shush me. We decide who's in the house on the hill. House on the hill, putting stamps on the bill. Unite to the fight to make America gay. So the American slave, the American way. You Britta vote, you Britta vote, you Britta vote. Now you Britta vote.
All right, everyone. Listen, I am so excited today. You are tuning in. You know, this podcast is called You Britta Vote, with yours, one and truly, the Britta Filter. Now, listen, I'm so excited because today we are talking all about voting. We're talking about voter rights, voter restrictions that are going on. I think this is going to be my favorite episode of all of them. And we've recorded so many of them. I would like to introduce y'all. Push your hands together, my friends, my non-binary pals, gal pals, everyone out there, please give it up for the executive officer of the New Georgia Project. Please welcome Ense Ufot. Hi. Oh my God, Ense, I am so honored that you are here. I was telling you a little bit beforehand. Truly, truly, I am gooped, gagged. I am everything to be talking to you today because you truly are a superhero to me. You are the one that is doing the work to really like bring our country together, to make sure that people have equal access to voting rights and everything, and especially in Georgia. Like, with y'all at the New Georgia Project, y'all pulled it together, right? And it was incredible.
Tell the people.
It is so wonderful. You know, as a co-chair of Drag Out the Vote, we were honored to work with New Georgia Project on so many different things, for the election, for the runoff, to get people registered. We did online virtual drag shows, and we text people, little text banks here and there. Yes. It was absolutely fantastic. Yep. And you've done so much incredible work in Georgia. Your organizing efforts in Georgia in the presidential election and in the 2021 runoff election contributed to turning the state blue. I want to know, let's start from the very beginning. How did you get into organizing?
I think happenstance. You know, born in Nigeria, raised in Southwest Atlanta. I'm an immigrant kid. Black, poor, from the South, but kind of a smart kid. So public school graduate. Went to college, went to law school. And because, you know, working class kid, you graduate near the top of your class, you go to the highest bidder. So I thought that that's what success looked like. So I went to go work for an energy company and, real talk, one of the largest polluters in the Midwest. And I hated my job, but my name is my name. And so I'm not going to half-ass do anything. And so I was really good at it, but I was miserable. So I started having like informational interviews, just looking at like activists and like dope human beings who were out there, who were doing things that I wanted to do. And there weren't a lot of lawyers in my family, right? So like asking questions about like what, like, okay, here's who I am. Here's what I know. Here's what I care about. What kind of job?
Yeah.
What are y'all? And then ended up getting and started working with labor unions. And you know, thank God I found them, because it not only gave me a vocabulary to talk about like the things that I saw that were wrong with the country and like giving a name to them, right? So like, because I grew up poor and just because I'm a woman and because things are hard for me doesn't mean that there's some character flaw, right? That we talk about capitalism and heteronormative or heteropatriarchy, right? Like, again, it gave me a vocabulary, but it also helped me figure out what power means, and that there's power in numbers, and that there's power when we're organized, and that when we fight, we win, right? And so, you know, moved into the legal department with unions, and then realized that, man, I'm doing wrongful termination appeals. So you got terminated and you think that it was unfair or unjust, and like you come to the union to help you get your job back. But then realizing that people get to me after they've been disrespected, after they've lost wages, et cetera. And what happens if I got to them before the worst happened with their employment? So I moved into the organizing department, right? Bringing people into the union. Then because I represented public employees, right? So I represented the lunch ladies at Cincinnati Public Schools and the sanitation workers for the city of Cleveland, and realize that if you work for the school board, even if you're the janitor, you get to hire and fire your bosses if you vote in the school board elections. If you're a garbage man and you work for the city of Cincinnati, city council and the mayor are your bosses, and those are the people that you're negotiating with on the other side of the table. And if they don't have an economic justice lens, get rid of those jokers. And so then I moved into the political department, right? So it's been a very windy, circuitous path, but trying to understand basically how to, I love myself and I want to live a good life. And I want a country, a state, and a city that sees me, that embraces me, and that where I can thrive. And I want that for other people. And so how do we get that for ourselves, for our families, and for our communities? And that's just been the constant, like getting better and getting smarter about winning.
That's so beautiful and so important and to uplift people. I mean, you know, I can see similarities between us. I mean, different, obviously, because I come from the drag world and RuPaul's Drag Race. And once I was on that show, I was like, oh my God, you know, we're given this platform, this beautiful platform to help people and to help LGBTQ plus individuals. I know that at the beginning of the election last year, there was a statistic that said that 1 out of 5 LGBTQIA people are not registered to vote, baby. And that woke me up. That woke me up. I was like, wait. Hold on. There are people that I know, because I know a lot of people. There's a lot, thousands of people on that Instagram that are not registered to vote.
Right.
And it is so important because there are so many of our rights, just as LGBTQIA plus people, not including everyone else, that they can make such a huge difference. And, you know, and the turnout just wasn't there the previous election. 100 million people were not registered to vote. That's a crazy ass number. Crazy. Right.
100%. And when you think about like the difference, right, the margin between who won and who lost last time, it wasn't 100 million, right? And so thinking about LGBTQIA plus people could literally be the difference maker, could have meant the difference between a President Clinton and a President.
Absolutely. Trump. Absolutely. I mean, and that's what woke me up and got me so involved, which I'm so grateful to be with Drag Out the Votes. Now, prior to the 2020 U.S. presidential election, the New Georgia Project registered over 500,000 Georgians to vote, which is incredible. And and in the lead up to the January 2021 congressional runoff election, you organized volunteers during a pandemic to knock on over 2 million doors in Georgia. You registered nearly 7,000 people in 30 days following the November general election. That is incredible. Y'all did the work.
Tell the people, tell the people how we get down.
I know that if I want something to get done, I'm going to go to Georgia. I mean, you really did it.
I'm saying, I think for us, there's a clarity. So here's the thing. No disrespect, right? About like moral victories and all of that. Like they fought the good fight. It just wasn't the time. I am obsessed with winning. I'm obsessed with winning for Black and brown folks. I'm obsessed with winning for queer people, for poor people, for Southerners, for, you know, folks who are naturalized citizens, undocumented folks, mixed status families. Like, I want us to win. I think that we deserve the best. I think that we deserve the best in our representation, in our access to education, the water that we drink, and the air that we breathe. And I'm going to fight for it, right? And I knew in that moment, now let me be clear, and just between me, you, and your thousands of listeners, all right, that Joseph Robinette Biden was not my first choice, right, in the presidential election. But there's a clarity that the person who was currently occupying the White House did not have my community's interest at heart. And so guess what? There's a maturity that comes with our analysis. And like, this is the person that we are going to put our effort into, because this is the person that will move the ball forward, that will get us to where we want to be, right? That ultimately, it's still us, that we are the ones that we're waiting for, right? There's no Messiah. We don't elect Messiahs. There's no like, you know, magic person that's going to come down from the sky and be like, hey, people of color, I got y'all. Because that's just not... That's not the reality of the world that we live in.
It would be cute, but that's not it.
Right. That's not it. But like, who's next can we keep our foot on, right? Who is accountable? Who will pick up the phone? Who can we organize? And Biden was organizable, right? And so we got to work, period, right? That in the middle of a pandemic, listen, nothing focuses the mind like the credible threat of death. And you have Republican governors all over the country lying about what they knew. And it was most offensive when the Georgia Republican governor was lying. You know why? Because the CDC's headquarters is 3 miles away from the governor's mansion in Georgia, right? So you can't lie about what you knew. They came to you first. Right? They came to you first about what this pandemic could do and what you needed to do to keep your constituents safe, right? And that wasn't happening, that our leaders had abandoned us, that they had taken politics, right? And forsaken good policy and forsaken the people. So we were going to have to take care of ourselves. So we got to work. We got smart about it. What does the virtual text bank look like, right? Like, okay, text banking and phone banking, like we make it fun. Right. We want to change the culture of politics in the South. We want to change the culture of voting. So how do you do that? You work with culture workers, people, our members, the people that we register to vote, and our staff love you. Right? You hear me? They love you.
Thank you. Right? Yeah.
So when there's an opportunity to do some cool shit together with Britta Filter and with other, some of the celebs from the RuPaul Drag Race world, it was like, let's go, right? Let's go. Because people are at home. Mm-hmm. People still crave connection. People are still trying to figure out, like, how do we do this? How do you campaign in a virtual environment? I think that I'm most proud of the 2 million doors that we knocked on, because when you think about the Biden-Harris campaign, the DNC, the DCCC, the DSCC, the DLCC, like all the whole alphabet soup of national campaign organizations, collectively in Georgia, they knocked on 0 doors, right? And we knocked on 2 million. So there's a clarity amongst the young people, the queer folks, our members, about who delivered this victory for Georgia families. There's no confusion about that at all. And that's why I continue to be proud of the work that I do. That's why I'm going to continue to pop my because I know that we are fighting for our own lives, right? That it's us, that we are the ones that are taking care of each other and looking out for each other and holding these elected officials accountable.
Yes, holding them accountable. Question for you, with the success that you had in Georgia, do you think that it's something that could be duplicated in other states? Because I know that, I mean, we need it.
1,000%. Absolutely. I tell people all the time, there's nothing magical about what we did. I mean, it's work.
Yeah.
That's it. Right? That it is a commitment to a community. And it's a commitment to building power. And what do I mean by building power? We need the power to stop bad things from happening. And we need the power to build the kind of Georgia that we feel like our families deserve. And so I subscribe to what we call the gospel choir theory of organizing, right? And when we think about gospel choirs, I mean, I'm a church girl from the South, like, you know, assuming that they can hold these strong, loud, powerful notes because the sopranos are given what need to be gave, the tenors, the bass, like everybody is doing their part so that when an individual vocalist needs to drop out because of personal or professional obligations, that the note continues. Mm-hmm. And so that's how we tend to think about organizing, that I low-key am kind of a loner and kind of an introvert, but I believe in organization. That there are people who out here who care about the things that I care about, who want to see the changes that I want to see. And so get with them, right? Find your political home. Find your organizing home, your movement home. And, you know, they also say in the church that it's either your time, your talent, or your treasure. Right. Now, there have definitely been times where I have had more time than treasure. right. I mean, that has reversed for me now. Like, thank God. Right. So when I can't come to the function, when I can't come to the meeting, I'll put something in the offering plate. Right. Because I want to see the work continue. Absolutely. And that's why you can have a new Pennsylvania project. You can have a Florida Rising. You can have a La Lucha, the homies in Arizona, because people are finding their people and getting together based off of their shared values and their shared commitment to building the world that we all deserve to live in. And that can happen anywhere.
And, you know, and that's so inspiring. I mean, that just makes me want to work even harder at Drag Out the Vote. Listen, bring the queens together, because you are not going to ignore a 7-foot man in a tall ass wig wearing stiletto shoes entertaining the children with a sign saying what the tea is about voting.
This is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying. And again, I shout out to Drag Out the Vote. Like, okay, random. This is not a flex at all, but I spent my birthday in 2019 in Paris, and Bob the Drag Queen had a show, and Bob the Drag Queen is from Atlanta. So, I mean, of course I'm gonna go, right? Of course I'm gonna go, and I'm gonna show love. And ended up at the show, obsessed. It was wonderful. It was amazing. Best birthday gift to myself ever. And guess what? It was like, so what are we doing? Like, I mean, I know you live in New York, but I'm just saying there's an opportunity. That I know that people think that Georgia is a red state. I know that people think that Georgia is a progressive future, right? Progressive candidates. It's not, it's too far of a stretch. But they got it. You got it. Right. And I feel like that you all are building a political home, a movement home that leverages culture, right? And that takes this like really powerful platform and, you know, connects the dots between entertainment, but also just the lives, like, you know, the lives that people want to live. I think the idea that we can be who we want to be if, you know, some of these oppressive forces get out of the way, that there's sort of beauty and creativity and like letting people express themselves and getting rid of the muzzle, you know, in a place like Georgia, in a place like the South, where, you know, you're in the Bible Belt and there's this understanding that there's a cost to being different. Right? That if you fall outside of, you know, what is expected of you, that there's a significant cost, personal, professional, emotional cost that people have to pay. And we are finding our folks, and people are moving here, and people are growing up here. And then Gen Z is saying, nah, like, yes, this is the South. Yes, this is Georgia, but we are rejecting the politics of the past. We're rejecting the politics of hate. And I don't want to have to move to New York in order to have the life that I want to live. I want that life for me right here in like Southern suburban Atlanta.
Absolutely.
So people are staying and fighting, and I love it.
Oh no, it's so beautiful to see. You know, I was grateful enough to, I went this past weekend There was the Voting Rights March in Washington, D.C., baby, and I'm where I was in full drag. It was hot as hell, but I got up in the gig. I got up in the gig. I carried two signs, one in each arm. I was at the very front just doing the damn thing. It was so important to be there. It's happening. And the reason why, just to let our viewers know, you know, the thing that's crazy to me is that people there, and the reason why I started this podcast is because people aren't in tune. I mean, there's a lot of queer people. There's a lot of allies that watch RuPaul's Drag Race. Mm-hmm. But I mean, yes, they love pop culture, mm-hmm. but they're just not paying attention to what's going on in the world, you know? And that's why I'm doing this. I think it's very important to shed light on these things. And like, listen, I'm gonna give you a little tea. I'm gonna give you a little something, a little fashion, but then there's always going to be a message behind it. And you know, a lot of people I know that I talk to, didn't realize that from January 1st to July this year, at least 18 states enacted 30 laws that restrict access to vote. And these laws are making mail-in voting, early voting more difficult. It's imposing harsher voter ID requirements. A lot of people don't have IDs, especially for our trans brothers and sisters and siblings out there. And make a faulty voter purge more likely, among other things, more than 400 bills with provisions that restrict voting access have been introduced into 49 states in 2021 legislative session.
Trash.
Trash. You are right about that. Trash. I mean, and that's why I went to go march. And it was just shocking to me when people were like, hey, wait, why are you going to Washington, girl? Oh, they're voting rights. What's happening with voting rights? I was like, honey, let me tell you, this is why I'm doing it, because your ass don't know. You know, can you explain for the people that are listening, why is this happening? Why is this going on in our country right now?
Because we're winning, right? So what is happening is that a lot has been written about the fact that by 2050, white people are going to be the minority in the U.S. But in places like Georgia, that date is like 2024. 2025, right? So you have states all over the country that are going to be like this multiracial, multi-ethnic, multilingual minority. Again, they're already, even in Georgia, like the majority of public school students are majority students of color, right? And so, and again, I bring up Gen Z and these younger millennials because they are just rejecting the politics of the past, the like all grind and no sleep and like being subject to being hazed in the workplace, or the idea that like there's nothing that can be done about climate change. Like, they're rejecting all of that. And so what's happening is that fewer and fewer people are buying what conservative Republicans are selling. And the only way for them to hold on to power in this moment is for them to cheat. Is for them to take a sledgehammer to our elections and our elections infrastructure. In my culture, they say that a dying donkey kicks hard, or a drowning man kicks hard, right? So if you've ever had a partner or a coworker that was about to get fired and they knew it, and they started behaving badly, stealing office supplies and shit, taking people's lunch, showing up to work late, just not caring at all. That is what we are seeing right now with this current version of the Republican Party, that they have lost all credibility, that it's not about ideas anymore and their version for the world. It's about them desperately holding on to power. So when Donald Trump got dragged out of the White House by the short hairs and not the ones on his head, right? They started to mobilize, right? Because they knew that the writing was on the wall. And so, you know, think about it. That was in November. And then there was 9 weeks until we had the runoffs to determine the balance of power in the Senate. So we got the House, we got the White House, and we got the Senate. And they were like, hell no. We have to do something about this. You know, these black and brown people out here voting. You know, these young people out here voting and their votes are counting. We have to do something about this. This cannot stand. And so they have introduced over 400 anti-voting bills in 49 out of these 50 United States, right? And that's what we're seeing. And because there's so many state legislatures where the Republicans have control and there's a Republican governor, they can push it through. That's what happened in Georgia. And let me tell you, how desperate they are. And I don't know if you remember this, Britta, but around New Year's Day or like January 2nd, the president, the former president of the United States, got on the phone with the Secretary of State of Georgia. That's the chief elections officer, the person that maintains, and hit him with this best, please, please find me 12,000 votes, right? Super illegal, super unconstitutional, super unethical. And basically, Biden won in Georgia by like 11,500 votes. And he was like, I know you can find 11,501 votes. Like, can you make that happen, please? Right? So that's what I mean. Like, he knew that there was no way for him to win based off of just ideas alone. So they're trying to cheat. And that's what we're seeing right now. That's what was behind the January 6th insurrection, that people are lying to these folks. Listen, Trump is still raising money today in the year of our Lord 2021, right? Today, because trying to get people to contribute to his fund to overturn the results of the 2020 election. Because guess what? Grifters gone grift. Scammers gone scam, right? And that is what he's doing. That's what we're seeing. That's what's happening. And that's why we can't take any steps back, that we have to double down. We have to do everything that we did that got us to this moment and more, because that is what is going to free us. That is what's going to get us on the other side of that. That is what is going to make sure that, again, all of us get on the other side of this dark moment in American
democracy. I mean, you know, even some people right now are saying that this is the worst attack on voting rights since Jim Crow, which I absolutely believe. You know, we've talked about what's happening, but how do we actually stop this attack on voting rights? How do we say, nah, y'all try to pull a fast one on it, but it ain't gonna happen. I feel like as this year goes on, like more bills are passing. You know, I'm getting scared. I'm getting scared. And that's why that's why I went to go march. Yeah. I was like, y'all ain't gonna fuck with my shit.
Right. So here's what I will say, that there's, like, again, back to the gospel choir thing, doing what you can, right? So there are a number of things that people can do on different levels, right? If you are thinking about federal legislation, right, there's the John Lewis Voting Rights Act, and then there is the For the People Act. It's H.R. 1 and H.R. 4. These are federal bills that will set a standard for elections, because I don't think that most people know that the laws governing elections depend on the state that you're in. There's some states that have 45 days of early voting. There's some states like Georgia that have 21 days of early voting. There's some states like Mississippi with no early voting. Child, you can only vote on election day, and that's wild. It, right? And so we need a federal standard for elections, that these shenanigans, these games that they're playing with the laws have to stop, right? And so I think that that's one thing that you can do. The second thing I think that people can do, so, you know, calling your senator, calling your member of Congress and saying, listen, I'm a climate change voter. I'm an education voter. I'm a police reform voter, whatever, right? Like, I am a, you know, what are the things that you care about? But I know that the right to vote is preservative of all of our other rights. That if we can't vote for our elected officials, if we can't hire and fire people to go to Washington, D.C. or to go to our state capitals to do the people's work, then we are screwed and we're never going to win on any of the issues that we care about, right? So making sure that your elected officials know that, number one. Number two, again, I say your time, your talent, or your treasure, that there are people that are working on this issue in every single state. Right. And so I would love for people to join us at the New Georgia Project, but you don't have to, because if you are in New York, there's Make the Road New York. If you are in the DMV, there is CASA, right? If you are in Florida, there's Florida Rising, New Florida Majority. If you're in Texas, there's an organization called TOP, which makes me laugh all the time, but it's an acronym for the Texas Organizing Project.
I love it.
the Texas Organizing Project. So there are people in your state that are doing this work, right? And that if you don't have time to come to the meeting, if you don't have time to make a few phone calls, put some coins on it. right? That this is the moment for all of us to do what we can when we can, because they're not playing any games. Mitch McConnell did not stutter when he said that he's going to do everything that he can to block the entire Biden agenda. He doesn't want nothing moving. They're not trying to play ball on anything. And so I think that the idea that bipartisanship is some sort of virtue that we should be pushing for is false, right? They are literally trying to fit the government inside of the uteruses of people who give birth, right? That is not okay. That is not okay, right? That we're talking about Hurricane Ida, right? 15, 16 years after Hurricane Katrina, and you, Black and brown and poor people, are still in the same situation that they were in 2005 when Katrina happened. And that also is not okay. I think that find your people, find an organization, follow them on Twitter, follow them on Instagram, show up to the march, put something in the kitty, because this is the moment for us to do what we can.
Call your senator. Yeah, do all of it. You know, there's even an episode on here, y'all, for those of you that have been listening, that where I initially was afraid when I was like, how do I call someone? How do I do this? So there's an example even on this podcast of me calling a senator to be like, yo, I ain't happy with this. And so just go ahead and follow that. And it's so easy. You were talking about the John Lewis Voting Rights Act, which definitely passed in the House, and we're hoping that it passes in the Senate. What do we need to do to pass it in the Senate so we can protect this?
So there's a Senate rule called the legislative filibuster, right? And basically, now every elementary school kid that I know on the playground knows that if you have out of 100 points, the person that gets the 51 points first wins, right? Period. But in the Senate, in order for a bill to pass, if the other party doesn't want it to pass, you have to get to 60 votes. So what that means is that there's a 50-50 Senate, 50 Democrats, 50 Republicans, that they have to get 10 Republicans to pass. That every single Democrat has to agree, and they have to get 10 Republicans in order for them to pass anything. And the likelihood that that is going to happen is close to nil. I'm much more likely to see like you and Trump doing a duet, like lip syncing for y'all's lives, right? Like that's like with matching outfits, right? And choreography, right? Like that, I expect to see that before I expect to see 10 Republicans vote on anything that the Democrats want in the Senate. But that is a fiction. It's not in the Constitution. It's literally a Senate rule that Republicans made up because they didn't want to do anything, right? It's a way to get, it's a get out of jail free card. It's a, we don't have to vote on this free card, right? And so I think that we need to put pressure on President Biden, and we need to put pressure on Vice President Harris to say, we need to get rid of the filibuster. It is getting in the way of progress because we have 50 votes. We have 51 votes that we need in order to start getting things passed. And let me tell you, there's a ton of stuff. I mean, so we're talking about voting rights because it's the, again, precedent for all of the other rights. But America hasn't had a raise in 12 years. The minimum wage has been $7.25 for 12 years. You can't take care of yourself on $7.25 an hour, let alone a family, right? And the minimum wage in Georgia is $5.15, right? So I'm talking about we got these once in a century, once in a decade storms that are happening a couple of times a year. Maybe climate change is real, right? That COVID is real. You got folks out here taking sheep and cow medicine because they don't want to believe that COVID is real. Like there are some real things that we need to address in this country, and the filibuster is in the way. And so I think if there's the one thing that we can all agree on that we can try to get done to get the John Lewis Voting Rights Act passed and the For the People Act passed, is to get in Biden's face and to get into dear VP Harris's face and say, I don't know what y'all are doing, but both of you were United States senators. Both of you served in that body. Now, folks don't listen to me and folks don't listen to Britta Filter, but you were their former colleague and one of y'all was in there for 46, 47 years. You need to get rid of the filibuster. It is getting in the way of American progress. It has to stop now. Right? I think that that is the one thing that we can do loudly together with one voice in this moment to stop some of these shenanigans.
It is so important for everyone that's listening to get rid of this damn thing, because it is truly, as you said, it is getting rid of progress. It is getting rid of progress. Listen, we're ready to move forward. God damn it. I'm so ready. I just want to thank you so much for talking to us about this. This is, I lived up to the expectation. This is officially my favorite episode. You are one of my favorite people I have ever interviewed. Everyone who's listening, how can people follow New Georgia Project, follow you, what's going on? Where do they go on social media?
Yes. So New Georgia Project is, that's where we are. We're New Georgia Project on all of the platforms, right? Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter. And I am Nse Ufot. So N-S-E, last name U-F. Like father, O-T, like truck, Nse Ufot on Twitter, on Instagram. I'm Nse Ufot 404. Shout out to Atlanta. I would love to connect with you all. If you didn't hear me shout out your state or a movement organization in your state, I'm happy to connect you with one where you live. If you are looking for, you know, how to contribute and what's next and how to keep up with the foolishness is going on in DC, please follow us on social media. We love to have these conversations. I mean, we also like very much get into our ratchet bag. So you're gonna get some auntie raps, right? You're gonna get some viral dance choreography, right? And you're gonna get, you know, surprise celebrity drag race guest host, right? We go live. We customize sneakers. Right? Like, we do it all. And we really want to change the culture of civic participation, the culture of democracy. So we welcome you. Join us.
It is so important. I'm so honored to have talked to you. Thank you so much, everyone. This is the one and only Nse Ufot, Chief Executive Officer of the New Georgia Project. Thank you so much. And everyone that's listening, listen, baby, I'm a vote, so you, Britta, vote. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week, honey.
Vote at the polls. Love is the goal. You, Britta, vote. Now vote. Vote. Now pose. Now serve it.
Okay, baby, that's the end of this episode. I want to say a huge thank you to Nse Ufot. Everyone at World of Wonder and Drag Out the Vote, I end this episode, as I do every single episode, to let you know that we need to look out for each other. Baby, if you see something unjust happening, you gotta step in. We gotta look out for each other. Black lives matter. Black trans lives matter. Stop AAPI hate. And lastly, make sure you are registered to vote and make sure you are making your voice heard, because it matters so much. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the You Britta Vote podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And listen to all of the podcasts that are a part of the WOW Podcast Network. And until next time, remember, I'm a vote. So You Britta Vote, hey!
You Britta Vote, now vote. Vote, now pose, now serve it at the polls.
Come on, sis, let's turn these in.
Wait, where's my sticker?
I got a free pin, though.
You Britta Vote.